We're going to do a little study on water baptism. Or baptism. There's more to that than most people realize. A lot of Baptists don't realize that they think that when John the Baptist came baptizing, that was the only time that people were baptized, but it's not true. Well, anyhow, I gave you a chart up here. There are two baptisms in the Bible. One is Holy Spirit. The other one is water. And the reason we're going to do this is because when you go through the Bible and look up baptism, you will know whether it's water or Holy Spirit, and you will know why. And that's the reason we're going to do this. A lot of people have it all fouled up. Baptism is always identification. No matter what kind of baptism, whether it's Holy Spirit or water, it's always identification. The Holy Spirit and identification is always equals salvation. Under water baptism, which is also identification, we have the baptism of Israel, John the Baptist, the baptism of Christ, the water baptism of the church, and finally, the baptism of Israel, the final baptism, which is the Holy Spirit. And so let's begin, if you will. Oh, I want to read something to you from a book that I have it's called To Be a Jew. I have a bunch of these books in my library, and I always found that it was important to know the Jewish religion. So I've got a bunch of these books in my Bible, and I know they're in my library at home. So I know what the Jews thinking and how they think, and actually a lot of their thinking is pretty good, better than most people in the world. But concerning baptism, which they call immersion, and that's what baptism is. Baptism, it comes from the word baptizo, and it means to immerse. Oh, let me see, I'm going to read something to you here from this book that I have. Let's see here. Immersion in a kosher mikveh. A mikveh is sort of like a great big bathtub, sort of like we use for water baptism. One that ritually qualifies for that purpose has always been the Jewish rite of purification. During temple days, priests had to undergo immersion before being permitted to enter upon their sacred duties. Converts to Judaism, both men and women, must still undergo immersion in a mikveh, symbolizing a spiritual purification. So it doesn't. They realize that this doesn't cleanse anybody. It's just symbolizing a spiritual purification as the final rite of their conversion, without which no conversion is valid. It is precisely this rite which a Jewish wife must fulfill each month until after her menopause. While many writers on the subject of mikveh have marshaled impressive evidence that there are also hygienic and medical advantages that accrue from the proper observance of this rite, the primary purpose is nevertheless spiritual in character, involving a cleansing of the mind, heart, and emotions, enabling a wife to bring herself once again, and so forth. That the immersion in a mikveh is not intended to be in lieu of a cleansing bath required by ordinary standards of hygiene is emphasized by the requirement that a bath must precede the immersion in the mikveh. That's important. You probably don't see the importance of that, but it is important. A bath must precede the immersion in mikveh. In fact,
already clean,
yes. In fact, all dirt or foreign matter must be scrupulously cleaned off prior to immersion. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you and I get water baptized, we are already cleansed, are we not?
Yes.
We are cleansed by the blood of Christ when we put our faith in Him. And so when we get water baptized, this is almost identical with the baptism that the Jews go through. And as they said, it's just symbolic of purification. And so with that in mind, we will begin our study on water baptism with that in mind. In fact, All dirt or foreign matter must be scrupulously cleaned off prior to immersion. Now, I think that's important because a lot of people, a lot of preachers I've talked to always thought that John the Baptist was the first one that ever baptized anyone, and that's just not true. Matthew chapter 3, if you will.
Jesus turned the river into the mikvah.
They turned the river into a mikvah, yeah. And the reason they did that is because water just wasn't easy to come by. If they'd had a literal mikvah, and they probably did somewhere in the area, but because there were so many people, the River Jordan was the handy thing to do. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Verse 5, "And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet or befitting repentance." Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." That means a change of mind, of course. "But he who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Verse 12, "whose fan is in his hand," and so forth. Verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented unto him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So in these verses, and of course in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, and also in John, we have an account, but this is the most extensive account of the baptism of John. We already see the things that I have listed. First of all, water baptism. This is what was happening here. Water baptism. John was baptizing Israel for what reason? Water baptizing. Always remember, water baptism is identification. He was baptizing Israel.
King was going to be made manifest?
So, yes. So the king would be made manifest. And what would that do? Israel was supposed to be identifying with their Messiah.
Yep.
Had they known the Bible, which they should have, they were aware of baptism, which the baptism didn't cleanse them. They were supposed to be cleansed before the baptism. All the baptism was symbolic of their being clean, purification. The water baptism that they went through was Israel's identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was supposed to represent. That was John's baptism. It was a work. Water baptism is a work. It is always something we do. And then he said, along came Jesus Christ, and he said, in verse 15, "Suffer it to be so, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." This was Jesus Christ's identification with Israel as their king, their Messiah. He fulfilled the law, the Old Testament law. He was fulfilling the Old Testament law, his identification with Israel and the law. It had to be so to fulfill all righteousness. And then we see John's baptism, which was John presenting the Messiah. That was his identification with Israel and the Messiah. And we see Christ's identification with Israel. And then on down in verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Notice God's identification with his Son, Jesus Christ. Baptism is always identification. And then the church, that's you and I. When we get baptized, we are always identifying with Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, with all these things in mind, and finally, last one there, Israel. When Israel finally identifies with God as their nation, that'll take place at the beginning of the kingdom, and that is Holy Spirit baptism. So we see all these things. So with that in mind, turn over, if you will, to the Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, by the way, did you know that a lot of Bible scholars, such as, he's a Baptist teacher in Bible college in Texas, one of the most well-known. He has a bunch of different Bibles out with his name on them.
Ryrie,
thank you. I couldn't get that name. Ryrie. He can't explain these verses, so he said they're not in the original. That's a nice way to deal with it, isn't it? If I can't explain it, they're not in the original. Well, that's great. But in verse 15, Mark chapter 16, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does that mean?
Baptism with the Holy Spirit.
He that believeth and is baptized, that's what Ryrie says. He says that's probably what it is, but he said since he really can't explain it, he doesn't know for sure, it's not in the original. But it was in the original, and it's written, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How come it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned? Think about it for just a minute. Remember what we just read. When you are water baptized, you have to be clean already, right? You have to be clean. He that believeth and is baptized, isn't water baptism a work?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we do? Well, in that case, I believe that this is water baptism because it would be a work.
Well, if you believed and did anything, you'd be saved, right?
Well, once you believe, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and you are saved. I agree with that. Bill's right. I agree with that. But I don't think that's what this verse is about. I think this is water baptism.
Is the salvation there spiritual or physical?
What's that?
Is the salvation a reference to the spiritual or physical there?
In this verse?
You know,
yeah. Yeah, I believe it's what it means is very simply this. It's outward proof that I am saved.
Great. So is it a physical salvation because
yeah.
being protected by his
goodness? That's possible, but I don't think so.
Pretty much an outward testimony to others.
But once you do anything and you do something else, you're already saved. So it doesn't matter what else you do and anything, you're already saved.
Once you believe, you're saved.
Right.
Yeah, so you can do anything else and you're still saved.
Yep.
Let me read this to you one more time, okay? In the Jewish, okay? emphasized by the requirement that a bath must precede the immersion in the mikvah. In fact, all dirt or foreign matter must be scrupulously cleaned off prior to immersion. How does it get cleaned off? By believing the gospel. It's that simple. I believe this is water baptism, and I'm going to show you why I believe it. Now, you can disagree if you like. I don't care. That's up to you. But let me show you why I believe it. So, go in your Bibles to Acts, let's see here, chapter 22, I think is where I want to go.
Acts 22?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, Acts chapter 22. After the conversion of Saul, or Paul, let's see, verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews who dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth, which he did, right? For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Stop right there. Is Paul saved? Certainly he is. Isn't he saved? Okay. Yes, he is. Who is Ananias? Isn't he a devout Jew? Look in verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews who dwelt there. Now, if that's true, and it is, then wouldn't Ananias know the Jewish ritual of baptism? Wouldn't he know that? Wouldn't all the Jews know the Jewish ritual of baptism in this book here, written in this book? Wouldn't they know that? Wouldn't they know that in order to be baptized, which is just ritualistic, that you would have to be 100% clean first? Wouldn't they know that? Wouldn't Ananias and all the Jews know that you would have to be 100% clean first, which means what? If you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're saved. You're already saved. Now then.
What was the other verse in one of the epistles where the guy asked them? He says, hey, there's water. Can I get baptized? And he said, well, if thou believest, thou mayest.
Acts chapter 16.
Huh? I think it's Acts 16.
Yeah. We'll go there, I believe, shortly. But notice the next verse, verse 16. Notice the next verse. Verse 16 here. But thou shalt be a witness unto all men, in verse 15, of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized. Isn't water baptism a work?
Yes.
Isn't it? And if it's a work, then does it wash away your sins? Calling on the name of the Lord. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What in the world does that mean?
Paul did that publicly to show the Jews that he had already been forgiven.
He did. That's what it means. Wash away your sins in the eyes of everybody around. Why would he need to do that? Because they knew that Paul was persecuting the church.
Yep.
Paul had saw to it that probably hundreds of people were murdered. Didn't he? And what about Stephen? Wasn't Paul the one that was holding the clothes of Stephen? And anyone who held the clothes of the one who was the one that was saying, kill him?
Yep.
Wasn't he the one?
Yep.
They knew that Paul persecuted the church. They knew that. They knew what he'd done. They knew that he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees hated Christ.
Yep.
They knew all these. And yet, wash away thy sins in their eyes, showing them that you are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, you're washing away your sins symbolically. It was a Jewish rite. Paul was just symbolically doing what all the Jews did when they thought they were clean. That's all it means. You know how many people use that verse and say, well, you see there, you've got to be water baptized. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what verse it is. I get a little bit more studying about it. But did Paul say to them, I'm glad I baptized none of you? This is when he was in
Corinth.
Yeah, at the Acho Corinthus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. In
First
Corinthians, that's a good story too, by the way. There was a reason Paul said that. I believe we went over that once here, but I'm not sure. If we have time, we might take a look at that. Go to Acts chapter 8, if you will. These are the verses that... Now, by the way, do you understand Acts chapter 22, verse 16? Why Ananias would say, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You understand that? Because it was symbolic. It was symbolic of the Jews who were there knew what that meant. Most Gentiles and most preachers today have no idea. And one of the reasons is they never went to the trouble of looking up Jewish tradition. It helps when you have a library, doesn't it? Anyway, Acts chapter 8. In my opinion, one of the greatest evangelists of all time, second only to Paul, is Philip. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, "Then Philip opened up his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He was already saved, wasn't he? Absolutely saved. And then over here in Acts, let's see here, chapter 2, In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Isn't baptism a work? You're not saved by a work. But it's the same thing that took place with Paul, or Saul. The same thing. He was talking to Jews. The Jews were present. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Repent, change your mind, in the name of Jesus Christ, for should be because of the remission of sins. That should be the correct word. Not for, but because of the remission of sins.
That's what the word for means.
Yes, absolutely. It's a little Greek word, E-I-S. Now go back to Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Let's look at that verse one more time.
What verse is that in Acts chapter 38?
Remember what he said. Because of the remission of sins. Your sins are already forgiven, so you're being baptized symbolically. What does it do? It's your identification. If you always remember identification, that's the key word with baptism. Holy Spirit baptism is God identifying with us.
Yes.
When I put my faith in Christ, God identifies with me, and he gives me the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I get water baptized, it's my identification with him. It's that simple. And so Peter said in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized. That's our identification with him. Yes, I believe in him. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. Therefore, I'm going to be water baptized, symbolic of, and we'll look at that shortly. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And wash away thy sins," which literally means because of the forgiveness of sins. Because your sins are washed away. It was just a religious, symbolic exercise that the Jews did. And if you were in those days and during that time, you would be showing the Jews, I do believe that Christ is the Messiah, he's the Savior. And when you went through the baptism ritual, it was the same as the Old Testament Jews' baptism. They would know exactly why you were being water baptized. Makes so much sense when you understand it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, verse 15 says that, it says, for thou shalt be a witness. And then it says, and now why do you tarry? You know, go get baptized.
Yeah, start being a witness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, start being a witness. That's right. Absolutely, that's good. Start being a witness.
And because baptism also is identification.
Yes.
Don't identify. Don't get baptized if you're not going to identify.
Right. That's absolutely right.
If you're going to hang out at the bar and get drunk, because you don't identify as being a Christian.
Yeah, you won't identify with much doing that, will you?
The outward testimony showing the people.
Yeah, it's simple when you understand. And you have to understand why they were doing what the Jews, their feeling about water baptism. When you understand that, it makes it so simple.
Well, then you have the foolish people. They get their babies baptized. Have no reason what it's for. They think it's going to protect and save them, but you know, it's just foolishness.
Yeah, just foolishness.
So they call it the believer's baptism?
Yeah. Okay, somebody brought it up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will.
Rich did.
1 Corinthians chapter what?
Chapter 1.
Okay.
And then we'll wind up with one question after this. In verse 14, Paul said to the church at Corinth, if water baptism was necessary for salvation, then why would Paul say, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Water baptism is very simply part of our service to Christ. It's our service. Has nothing to do with salvation. If it was, then Paul would have said, I wish I'd have baptized every one of you. But why would Paul say that at the very beginning of the book? There's a reason for that, and I'll show you what it is in chapter 15. There's a reason why Paul said that right at the very beginning of the book. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, Paul said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, I'll be darned. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Literally means empty, profitless.
Yep.
And then in verse 16, and for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, empty, and worthless.
Yep.
Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, everyone who has died in the past, who thought that Christ died on the cross for them, if Christ didn't rise again, then it's a waste of time. You're just plain dead. Yeah. And then we have a verse over here in verse 29 rather. Then Paul says, else what shall they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, Schofield has a little note down here saying that you're baptized for the dead. That means that you go on and witness, but he's all wet. I believe he's all wet. Let's read that verse again. Else what shall, and remember what Paul said, I'm glad I baptized none of you. Because
yep.
you didn't believe in a resurrection. Most of you don't believe in it. And then when he began chapter 15, he began with verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. It's pretty sad when somebody has to go into a church and declare the gospel, shouldn't it? Shouldn't they know the gospel?
Yeah.
Which I preached unto you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you unless you have believed in vain. Why would he say that? Because if you don't believe Christ rose again, it's a waste of time. You believed in vain. You really don't believe the gospel.
I think the "for the" should be "to be dead."
Where's that?
In verse 29.
I told one time to Mormons, they come over bringing that up and saying they do that to get people out of hell. And I told them that Paul wasn't telling these people to do that. He was saying it almost sarcastically, just to throw it in their face. Like, if you do that and you believe this way, then what you're doing doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
He didn't say to go do it. He just said, you're doing it.
Yeah. What they were doing was being baptized for the dead. Christ.
Yeah.
If Christ didn't rise, then you've been baptized for the dead. You're wasting your time. That's
if
what
you
he doesn't.
Baptized, and you're not going to rise from the dead, then you're going to be dead.
You're going to be dead.
You're baptized for what? You're going to be dead.
You've wasted your time. You've been baptized.
You're not going to rise from the dead.
Yeah. Look, Muhammad is dead, right?
Yeah.
He didn't rise again, so I'm certainly not going to get baptized in the name of Muhammad, but I'm going to get baptized in the name of Christ symbolically when I get raised out of the water. I believe he rose again. That's what it means. And so Paul said, you guys are being baptized for the dead. If the dead rise not, you have wasted your time. It's all vain. You know, it's so simple, isn't it?
I don't think it means for the dead people.
It doesn't.
It means like yourself.
Well, no. What it means is they who are baptized for the dead, who he's talking about is Christ. Read it again. Else what shall they do who are baptized for the dead? If Christ didn't rise again, he's still dead. You're wasting your time. He's not the Savior. He's not the Messiah. He's not God. He didn't rise again, right? That's what he's saying. Else what shall they do who are baptized for the dead? Big deal.
Right. He's not condoning
the... Yeah, look at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Yeah.
You see? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He's still dead. How can you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, symbolically believing that he rose from the dead, if you don't believe he rose from the dead? And then Paul said, I'm glad I baptized none of you. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. That's how he started the book. And then in chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, let me go back here and read that again. For I delivered unto you, in verse 3, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's part of the gospel.
Yes.
Christ died, was buried, and rose again. But if you don't believe he rose again, then you don't believe the gospel.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple.
You're believing a partial gospel that, you know, you can't have one without the other two.
Yeah. In verse 20, in verse 5, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection, they're all dead. Nobody's alive.
That's the feast, the first fruits.
The first fruits. So you got to believe he rose again. Otherwise, there is no first fruits. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If he didn't rise again, if he's not alive, if there's no resurrection, the whole Bible is worthless. That's what Paul's saying. The whole thing is a waste of time.
So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says that too.
Yeah, why are you going to suffer for witnessing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If
they really rise from the dead.
Absolutely.
What's the point?
It'd be pointless.
Yeah, pointless. And what is it? What is it? See, what he's saying, you guys are identifying with Christ. It's vain.
Yeah.
Your identity is vain. And not only that, how can God identify with you if he's not alive?
Yeah, he says, why suffer?
Why am I so persecuted?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would I?
Yeah, why would I? And then he said, verse 18, then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are dead, perished. Those who have already died, and that's why it's so foolish to say, well, I'm baptized for those who have died and gone on before so that I can keep witnessing. That's what the Mormons believe. No, no, no. No, no. They're all dead. even those who have died before me. See? For what else are they who are baptized for the dead? That's not those who are dead, Christians. Because notice what he says in verse 18, then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. For in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. If Christ didn't rise again, there is no hope.
Well, these people, that, like verse 29, they're trying to be baptized for unbelievers who are dead.
No, they're being baptized symbolically in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what you and I do, right? That's what Paul did. That's what Philip did. The Ethiopian did. They were being baptized symbolically in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but they didn't believe in a resurrection.
These people.
Yeah,
but the Mormons take this verse and give it a whole different meaning.
A whole different meaning. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they believe that they can baptize. Right, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is they believe that they can baptize themselves for an unbeliever who's dead to get them out of wherever they're at.
You mean the Mormons? The Mormons
right.
do. Yeah.
The Mormons and yeah.
But these people in Corinth didn't believe that. Their problem was they didn't believe in a resurrection. It's that simple.
That was the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
The Sanhedrin didn't believe in a resurrection.
Yeah, they didn't believe in an afterlife either.
Paul wasn't telling these people to do what they were doing. He was telling what they were doing.
Right.
Not making any sense.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
One
didn't believe in resurrection.
You have a question?
Yeah, a comment mostly.
Go ahead.
I was talking to this Jehovah Witness that's on my bus, and I was talking. I was like, how's your Christmas? He's like, I don't celebrate Christmas. He's like, I don't celebrate Christmas, my birthday, or Easter. I'm like, why not Easter? He's like, because bunnies and eggs don't have anything to do with Easter. And I thought an egg has to represent new life. So I said, doesn't an egg represent new life? And he's like, actually, it's the egg and the bunny is, he said the egg and the bunny was a statue for a
fertility.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain that to you, okay? The word Easter is only used one time in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and it really is not Easter at all. It's the Passover. The word Easter comes from, it's a mistranslation. That's why we have Easter Sunday. But Easter was really a worship of the goddess Esther, E-S-T-E-R. And it is a pagan religion. Yeah, the egg represents fertility, and the bunny represents reproduction and all this stuff. Fortunately for us Christians, we don't.
Yeah.
We might have the kids hunt eggs and all this stuff, but you know, whatever. But we celebrate the resurrection of Christ on Easter. That's yeah.
There's no such thing as eggs.
Anyway, that's unfortunately the word Easter is a mistranslation. It shouldn't even be there. It should be the Passover is what it should be. So.
They just call it Passover Sunday from now on.
I guess we can do that.
Yeah, I had a Jehovah's Witness say something like that to me. I was taking him. I was witnessing to him when I was a driver for the VA.
Uh-huh.
And I just told him, I said, oh, yeah. I patted him on the leg when they were getting out, and I said, oh, well, I'm sorry, you're going to hell when you die then. But believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can go to heaven. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And then he got out, and that was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It could have been.
No, you should have seen it, thank you. Yeah. Just leave them with a little something,
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Well, I had a Jehovah's Witness leave my house once, and I don't know where it came from, but she said, I suppose I'm going to hell when I die. And I said, if you say so. And they never came back. I said, you said it. I didn't say it.
Well, they don't believe it.
No, they don't believe it, but that's what she said.
Wait. See, here's my whole thing with it is they believe that the 120,000, right? Or the 140,000. They believe there's going to be 140,000 that are going to be. They said they're going to be in heaven, correct?
Uh huh.
And aren't there like a couple million of them? So isn't there some that are getting left out? You know, I mean,
said that those ones have paradise to earth, but they don't believe in heaven.
Yeah, they believe in annihilation, though, right?
Yeah, that's what they believe.
So, yeah.
Well, they don't believe
they're going to create a utopia here, right on the earth.
They don't believe in heaven and hell. They literally believe that when a person dies, they're dead. The only thing they believe in is that there would be a kingdom on this earth, and 144,000 are going into it. And well, that sure leaves a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses.
I mean, thinking of it in this aspect, it's like, well, if that's all that happens, when you're dead, you're dead. I mean, heck, we can just go around killing people because, hey, life absolutely means nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I read in the Kingdom of the Cults, they said that was because that Charles Taze Russell, or one of the founders, was, I think he was a Congregationalist, or part of some denomination that preached hell to them so hard, so much, that he just decided to write it out of the Bible. He just decided he didn't like it.
Well, that takes place a lot today.
I went to Kingdom Hall one time in Florida. I was invited before I started going to church. There's some old lady in there. She's running around going, I'm one of the chosen. And she's all nervous and she's all excited. She goes, I'm one of the chosen.
How did she know that?
I was there looking at her.
How did she know that?
You chose it for the living.
Somebody told her that.
Somebody told her.
I had them guys come over talking about that. I had to just stop them. I said, did you know that that stuff's all in the future anyway? Not only is it Jews, but it's future. It's not happening right now. They just froze. They were just dumbfounded. They didn't even have any clue about where it takes, what time frame.
It was Daniel of Revelation. Yeah.
I was just...
They think that Satan got cast into the earth during World War I. And this stuff's been going, the stuff like from Revelation's been going on now.
Yeah.
They don't know about it being 7 years long or anything.
I was watching one of those spiritual channels, and they said that, it was Rob Parsley.
Oh, that's, okay.
And he was going on about Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost is taking place today. And I said, how in the world could you come to that conclusion? Pentecost is taking place today, and it can take place in your life. And I'm thinking,
Pentecost was one point in time.
Sow your seed.
Huh?
Yeah, they keep coming up with the sow your seed stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's unreal. I got one question before we close. It's very simple. What was Jesus Christ's baptism? He told his disciples, how can you be baptized with the baptism that I, his future baptism? What did he mean by that? The answer is very simple.
It's on the Holy Spirit.
Huh?
The
Holy
Spirit? Jesus was identifying with the Father.
He was talking about going to the cross. That was. So what was his baptism when he went to the cross? The baptism that I'm going to be baptized with, I'll give you my interpretation, okay? He was going to be immersed, because baptism means immersed.
Uh-huh.
He was going to be immersed in the sins of the world while he hung on the cross. I believe that was the baptism that he was talking about. How can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? He was talking about going to the cross. In my opinion, that's...
He's immersed with the sins of the world.
Right, because nobody could.
Nobody could.
Except for him.
Except for him.
That's why he's the only one that could open the book.
Open the seal, yeah.
Yeah. That's my interpretation. He was going to be immersed in the sins of the world. So, that's it. We're done.
I did. I got to talk to you a minute after class.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Can you bend your truck up so I can take those weights out?
What's that?
Oh, when you're done talking to them, can you back up your truck so I can take sandbags out?
Oh, yeah. They're in the back of the... Yeah. Actually, I'll give you the keys.
I'll do it.
She wants to go to Walmart.
I don't care. I don't care where they go. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies with us when he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's his identity with us. The least we can do is identify with him in one way or another. Water baptism is the best. Witnessing is another. And dear Lord, we just thank you for your word in his name. Amen.
Where's your keys?
I'll give it. Those Jehovah's Witnesses, I said that. Those 144,000, those are Jews.
In the Old Testament, they were Jews, but now they're us. I said, no, they have never happened yet. They're in the future.
It's for all.
They don't even get what you're saying.
Yeah. They just froze for a minute.
whatever.
So you know they're in the future?
Well, what? Yeah, I don't know. I witnessed to a guy today. I don't know what he was. He didn't say nothing, but he's like, oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. He may have believed it. I hit him before, but
probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean.
Because Jesus even said they'll scourge you in the synagogues
and they'll bring you before kings for a testimony for me to them. Because that's all it is. You're just going to witness to these people so that when they're dead, they can go before God. And he can say, remember when? Remember when? Don't tell me I'm not righteous, God. I sent my servant before you, and you didn't want it. So, you know what? Here you go.
Where was the place he said about Denny at the baptism?
Jesus said, how could you have the baptism?
Thank you.
I don't know, probably Matthew.